Many times, as I travel and talk to people, I see the results of those who practice prayer, because it's something to talk about prayer and something else to pray. And we don't talk about prayer that is a repetition of, as Ellen White says, set customary phrases. That we talk fast, say a few things that we usually say, and if we don't say them, we don't feel good. Usually praying kind of the same prayer. Prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. Now, let me tell you, if I would go to my wife and every day I would say the same phrase, I would sleep on the couch. When I talk to my wife, we talk openly anything. Would you agree? I mean, in a good marriage, you got to open your heart and talk about anything openly. Now, many times we don't do the same with God. We just say the same prayer all our life. I remember in my very first district, there was a man, good man. Not going to tell you the place or the name. When he was baptized like 40, 50 years before, he spent a whole week inventing the best possible prayer. It had anything. And then he learned the prayer by memory, and all his life he prayed the same prayer. And when he would pray in the church, even children could say the words ahead of him. Now, that's kind of Ave Maria. You know what I'm talking about? It's brainwashing. If you don't think what you say, if prayer doesn't come from a heart that is feeling, is meaning what you say, if you don't mean, what do you think God should mean it? Prayer should be genuine. Prayer should be specific and have a purpose, a goal. We'll continue today what we started yesterday. The function of prayer is relationship. You see, God wants to talk to people. God wants to have a relationship. In paradise, God spoke to them face to face. We think that he doesn't speak today, but it's all over the Bible. He who has ears to hear. Doesn't the Bible say so? In Revelation, 10 times, literally 10 times, it says, he who has ears to hear. I am at the door and knock. If anybody would hear my voice and open the door. So you got to hear his voice. You got to hear God's voice. How many times do we talk to God to hear his voice? People ask me, how does God talk? How do you distinguish his voice from other voices? Ellen White has a quotation in Desire of Ages. She says, when every voice is hushed, the quietness of our mind makes possible to hear the voice of God. You know how our mind goes? Moreover, mine. All the time. It doesn't stop for a second. Even if you kill me, you cannot stop my mind from going all the time, you know. Then you cannot help. That's the way I am, you know. I think in 10 directions all the time, and I hear everything around me, and I see everything around me. And I was one time leading the choir, and sometime was talking during, we had choir practice. And during choir practice, somebody was talking about me. And I heard them, and I told my wife, while we did choir practice, this is what he said. How could you listen to the choir and listen to that? That's, my mind goes like this, you know. And so how do you quiet down and listen? I had a church member in one of my churches in Wisconsin. I'm not going to tell you the name, but I'm positive when I start telling the story, Elder Corkum is going to know the name. And she talks. She can talk your ears off. She can kill you. I mean, inflation of words, many words. When she talks, even the board doesn't listen, though she is a good Christian, excellent Christian, good lady. I love their family. I love them. However, she talks a little too much. And because she talks too much, they have a tendency not to take all she says, you know. So I told them about listening to God's voice. And she says, how do you keep quiet? And I said in my mind, I bet you don't know that. But I didn't say it loud because I, you know. So I said, listen, it's not oriental meditation, that stupid thing that has nothing to do with Christianity, and unfortunately some pastor teach it, oriental meditation. You focus on nothing. How can you focus on nothing? Unless you are dead, then you focus on nothing, you know. I mean, how can you empty your brain? Can you? Unless you are in a coma. I cannot empty my brain. You don't focus on nothing. There is nothing on nothing, you know? They say, you have a third eye. I don't. I have just two eyes. But anyway, you focus on nothing, empty your brain. That's hypnosis or whatever. It's crazy. The Bible talks about meditation, about contemplation, about reflection. But every single time, and I have a bunch of Bible verses, and I have 4 pages of quotations from the Spirit of Prophecy, all about meditation. But there is not one place in the Bible or Spirit of Prophecy that says, meditate on nothing. Every single time, 100%, it says, meditate upon His law. Meditate upon His word. Day and night, and I meditate. You remember, don't you? You don't focus on nothing. You focus on Christ. You follow me? You don't empty your brain. You fill your brain. I remember I was a kid, and I was small, not a kid. I was a child, a small child. And I was afraid of dark. And I didn't want to sleep with the lights off. And my father would say, you need to get rest. Turn it off. You can leave a small little light on, but not the big light. And I said, how do I get the darkness out? And he gave me a spoon and opened the window. Okay, start. And I was kind of, it doesn't go out. And my father said, you see, the result is that as long as you fight the darkness, you'll never win. You got to turn one little light on, and the darkness goes out by itself. He turned the little light, and I, that's okay. So basically, you don't empty your brain. You invite Christ in your brain, and the darkness goes out by itself. You follow me? So I told her, back to the story, I told the lady, you don't keep quiet, you don't empty your brain. What you do, instead of focusing on nothing or focusing on self, some people say, the power is in you, you just have to find it. There is no power in us, except to make a mess. So, I told her, you focus on Christ. You remember Christ object lessons? At the foot of the cross, contemplating His sacrifice, contemplating His character. Without any human effort, we are changed into His image. Paul says we are changed from glory to glory by beholding Him. So you see my point? You don't focus on nothing. You focus on Christ. You focus on His law. You focus on His word. You follow me? Okay. Now going back to the story. So I told her, you need to focus on Christ and listen. And she says, how do you listen? And I told her, when you pray, when you talk to your husband, you just talk. And in my mind, maybe you do, you know. But anyway, but I said, doesn't he talk to her? She says, yeah, he does. Okay, that's the same when you pray. When you study, you don't just read, okay, I did my duty, I read 3 chapters today. And you get nothing and you don't even remember what you read a second ago. You read a little and then you pray over it. And then you think, you reflect, and then you read it again, the same Bible verse. I read the Bible verse about 15 to 20 times. My goal is to memorize it, so throughout the day, I repeat it. And believe me, the time goes so fast, the year would go in no time. It was New Year, and soon it's going to be Christmas again. If you learn one Bible verse by memory a day, that's not a lot. One Bible verse, it's easy. At the end of the year, you know 365 Bible verses. The Holy Spirit has something to remind you when you go through trials. And those Bible verses, they come exactly at the right time. And they help you go through challenges. Believe me, they give you a lot of strength. Anyway, going back. So I told her, pray a little and then keep quiet. God may inspire you, may put a thought in your mind. He may not. And then pray a little more. Don't hurry in prayer. Hurry is the greatest enemy of spiritual life. Jesus was never in hurry. He was busy, but not in hurry. He had time to pray. He had time to listen to the children. He had time to watch nature. You follow me? Okay. So I told her, and then when you study, read a little and digest it and pray over it. I told her, like in the Lord's Prayer, may your will be done. How can you do God's will if you don't know God's will? The Spirit of Prophecy says that Jesus would go early in the morning and pray and receive the plans from the Father for every day. Receive the plans. God has a plan for you every day. every day, story in story. Let me open a parenthesis. I was driving from Tennessee to Wisconsin. I went to see my son. They had a concert for Thanksgiving or whatever. And before getting in the car, my wife and I prayed and we said, Lord, you have a plan for us today. Instead of turning stupid music and driving, we are going to pray and listen. So we prayed and then we drove. And we drove for about 5 hours and God didn't talk, because you don't tell God when to talk. He's the master. He talks whenever he wants. You just got to be ready at any time. When he talks, if you are not ready, you don't hear. So you need to be in an attitude of listening. As a servant, he awakens Isaiah. You remember? He awakens my ear every morning to, not to talk, to listen as a disciple listens. We are supposed to listen to God's voice. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. By the way, be still doesn't refer there to keep quiet. The word in Hebrew is Rapha. Rapha means calm down. Let worries go into God's presence, at least for a few minutes. Calm down. And Yada, that is know that I am God. Know is not the word for knowing Gnostic knowledge. Satan knows that there is a God. Yada is the word that God told Adam, go and have children with your wife, to have an intimate relationship. That means calm down in my presence and get to know me. Have a relationship with me. Basically, in God's presence, you don't need to say a bunch of words. The Bible says that the sacrifice of the fools is many words. What can we tell God that he doesn't know? Literally. Think about it. Can you hide and he doesn't know? He knows you when you take a shower. He knows everything. He knows what you think. Would you agree with me? So why do we feel the need to inform him? Let me tell you, because you don't know. And let me give you the solution. This is how you should solve it. Prayer is not to change or to inform God. Prayer is to change us and to know him. Okay? Back. So I was driving and listening. And as I was driving, after 5 hours of driving, in my mind, God spoke and said, call so-and-so, a pastor. Not going to tell you the name. And that guy talks as much as that lady that I'm telling you the story. Last time when I visited him, he talked until 3:30 a.m. I was like, and he was catching my hand. Hey, wake up. I need to tell you something. So I told my wife, I said, Dana, God, I think God impressed me to call so-and-so. And we are getting close to his house. And my wife said, don't call him. He's going to invite us over. And then he's going to talk through the middle of the night. We'll never get home. Don't call him. I said, honey, I think God says call him. And she says, really? Make sure that God says that. So I prayed in my mind and I said, Lord, you really want me to call so-and-so? And God said, call him. I said, but he talks a lot. And God said to me, don't you too? Yes, I do. Guilty, I know. But he's going to take my time. And the Lord said, didn't you ask me to give you the plan? If you are willing to serve me today, call him. So I called him. I said, hey, how are you doing? He says, well, I'm in trouble. I said, what type of trouble? He says, I've been praying for the last 2-3 hours. And I don't get an answer. So, well, what is about? It was snow. It has been snowing for a couple of days. The snow was quite big in front of my house in Wisconsin. The snow was literally up to here. And he was going in a mission trip in Cuba. And his car was broken. The bus didn't come. And no church member had the courage to drive him to airport. And he was losing the plane. And I was driving a nice Toyota Sienna all-wheel drive. Cars in the ditch. I was going through the snow like nothing. As we were talking, I approached his exit, 109, on Highway 57, on Interstate 57, going north. So I told him, hey, I'll be at your house in no time. I got on the exit, 7 miles his house from the interstate. I picked him up, got him to the airport 35 minutes before the plane left. He got right when they closed the gate. He got in, 24 people got baptized in Cuba. So is God still talking to us? Oh, yes. Oh, he's at the door. He wants you to hear his voice. He talked to children like Samuel. And Samuel didn't even know the Lord, didn't even recognize his voice. He talked to Paul, a persecutor. He talked to the Greeks. You remember? I could give you a bunch of examples. God wants to talk to you. Anyway, going back to the... So I told the lady, God wants to talk to you, but you got to listen. God has something for you. And the lady says, how do you listen? And I said, so what you do? You don't just say the regular prayer that you say usually. What you do, you spend time with God, because relationships are based on quality time. Okay, Pastor, I'll do that. Well, she did. And nothing happens. And after about 2-3 weeks, she comes to me and she says, you know what? First time in so many years of being an Adventist, I sense that God literally talked to me. And he didn't talk in the beginning. And I said in my mind, maybe you are not ready, but I didn't say it out loud. I want you to be kind. But she says, after a while, God finally talked to me. I said, okay. And she says, God inspired me to start a community center. And I said, okay, go ahead and do it. And she says, well, I talked to my husband, and he thinks that I am crazy, so I need help. So you'd ask me to pray, now you got to go with me. I felt sorry that I asked her to pray, you know? So I said, okay, Thursday morning, 8 o'clock, I have half an hour, I could go with you. I meant that Thursday. She thought every Thursday somehow. I didn't say Thursdays, I said Thursday. But anyway, Thursday morning, 8 o'clock, we met. We went from place to place. It was 2 hours, it was not half an hour, in Elkhorn. And every building that we saw was either too big and too expensive or too small that would not match our needs. And she says, Pastor, I see you next Thursday, 8 o'clock. I said, no, I'm busy. I said, well, you said Thursday morning. I said, no, I said Thursday morning. And she said, yeah, every Thursday. I said, no, just one Thursday. She said, Pastor, you asked me to pray. You got to help. Okay, I come next Thursday. Literally several months, we went every Thursday morning. And I got discouraged. And she told me, you told me to pray without ceasing. When God inspires, we cannot see the picture, but we got to trust him. Because prayer, listen carefully, answer to prayer is not an instant. Very seldom in the Bible it's an instant. Answer to prayer, it's a process. Did you hear what I said? When you start praying, the Lord starts working. But you may see the answer a little later. Remember Daniel, when you started to pray, I started to, you remember? So she said, you told me that, we need to keep searching. God is working, we just need to get to the right time and the right place. So, okay. After a few months, we got to a place where the man was bankrupt. He had a business that he was selling clothing, and he was bankrupt. And he preferred to rent us the building instead of paying taxes and keep it empty, closed. So we agreed on price, and finally we had the building. I said, okay, now I am free. I don't see you Thursday. As soon as we signed the papers, I got a phone call. I didn't really recognize the number. Hello? It was the manager from Kmart from Delavan, Wisconsin. He says, you searched for several months for a building. Everybody knows you by now in the town. God allowed it so we would get known by the people. We had to go from house to house to every business until everybody knew what we want, including the city hall. He said, you are searching for several months for a building. Did you get a building? I said, in fact, we just did a few minutes ago. Okay, do you have shelving? I said, no, we don't. Well, our Kmart got bankrupt. We closed the store. You can come and get any shelving you want for free, as much as you want. Praise the Lord. So I called one of my church members who had a truck. We went there. I was greedy. I took a lot more shelving than we could use. I had to put it in the parking because there was no room inside for all the shelving that I took. I got all the shelving, and then I told my church members, I visited you. I know your closets. I know your garages, your attics, your basements. You have more stuff than you can use. You got to donate. Whatever you don't use in 2 years, you got to give it away. They did. We filled the community center. When Katrina came, if you remember the hurricane, we sent for a month, every week, 2 18-wheelers full of clothing to help the poor from our little store. The government called and they gave us to handle the food stamps and the gas stamps for the poor. They said, we know what you do there for the poor, we trust you. The jail called and they said, we want you to do type of recovering with people who come from jail and they are in probation for a period of time. Can you give them work? Sure. We gave them work. We gave them Bible studies. On the newspaper, I still have 2 newspapers. For several times, 2, 3, 4 times, I don't remember the number, we were on the front page, the Seventh-day Adventist Church helping our town. Isn't that great? From a lady that was willing to pray and listen. That I, even myself, didn't trust her. I said in my mind, if God wanted that, he would have told me. I am the pastor. Well, God told her, not me. We developed, we grew so much that we had no more room. We had to store things in the rain outside. The winter was coming, it was raining on our stuff. And I remember the next business, the neighbor, next door business, came to me and said, listen, I closed half of my store because things are not going well. And he said, I don't want to heat the whole building because it's too expensive. So I am opening the front, the back, it's closed. If you don't use the heating, you can store your stuff in my building. Thank you. How much should we pay? He said, well, you help our city, it's free. I want to be part of it. We stored our stuff that was in the rain in the back of his building. Now, 3 months later, the next door on the other side business came to me and said, Pastor, that guy says that since he gave you half of the building, God blessed him in half, more, he made more money than he would do in the whole building. Would you consider taking half of my building so God would bless me too? So we got half of the other building, and then 3 months later, we purchased the AutoZone. That is way bigger building. We filled it up. God never stopped working. God doesn't change. We do. He doesn't. But we don't really pray. We just tuck and live. We never have time to contemplate and to reflect and to give God a chance to inspire us. Again, I am not talking about stupid oriental meditation. I am talking about biblical, healthy stuff. You follow me? For instance, a pastor that was, I'm not going to tell you his name, pastor at the academy, he talked to his wife. Her name, it happens to be the same like my wife's name. And he said, honey, let's listen after we pray. Let's try to kind of pray this prayer. Lord, if you have something for me today, please show it to me. I want to be open. My ears, my eyes, so I could see people that need me to help them, to serve. Here I am. I made myself available. Send me. When you pray that prayer, God would actually answer that prayer. So they prayed that prayer. It was during vacation. The academy was closed. Nobody there. So he says, he told me the story, I tell you as far as I remember. He says that he was driving, going somewhere, shopping, whatever. And God inspired him, go to the academy. And he says to his wife, honey, God inspired me to go to the academy. And she says, it's your mind. And he says, if it was my mind, would have said, let's go to a restaurant and have a nice meal. But it's not my mind because it says go to work. You know? So she says, okay, let's go. They go to the academy and there is a man in front of the entrance crying. And talking to him, he says, why are you here? And the guy says, well, several years ago I was in this academy and I left the school and I left the church and I got into drugs and I got arrested and I got in prison and I lost my family and my wife and my children, everything. Now I got out. I want to turn around. But this is the single place where I learned about God. So I came here and nobody's here. So I was praying, Lord, send somebody that could help me. Is God talking? Oh, God is talking. I talked to another man in Michigan. I did a prayer seminar there and he told me, Pastor, one morning It was snowing. Sure, Michigan snow. They go together. It was snowing. And he says, I asked the Lord to show me what he has for me today. And he says, I was driving on 94. And as I was driving on interstate, I saw something white on the snow. So I told my wife, there is something white on the snow. And she says, honey, snow is white. I said, no, I did see something white on the snow. And he says, honey, how could you see white on the snow? So he turned on the no U-turn, you know, went back to the previous exit, turned again, and came again driving slow. And sure enough, there is an old man in a white robe in the snow. So he stopped the car, he put the blinking lights, he goes there, and the man has something here that says Alzheimer's. He ran from hospital to go home, and he forgot where home is. And he dropped, and he was freezing. So my friend got him to hospital, and they said literally 30 seconds to 1 minute, and it would have been too late. So as they brought him back to life, the daughter of the man comes and says, how did you see him on the snow? And he says, well, this is my prayer every morning. Lord, would you talk to me today? Would you help me keep my ears sensitive and my eyes sensitive so I don't worry just for my needs all the time? That's what we think, my problems. But I would have an open eye to hear or to see what you want me to do today. So as I was praying that, God showed me the man on the snow so I could save his life. And she says, that's the church that I want to join. People who actually live what they teach. And the whole family, they got baptized. Isn't that something? Imagine every church member making himself or herself available to God every day. How would our churches look like? So, going back, we go to prayer not to inform God, but to get to know him, to get to hear him, to get to have a relationship. Does it make sense? I know it takes forever. I don't know our time, what time it is. Okay, we have a little time left over. We didn't make too much progress today. But anyway, we did learn a little. So, relationship. The goal of prayer is God's continual presence in our daily life. That God may be real in your life, not just theory. But God may be there with you, that you can sense his presence. Remember, HMS Richards Sr. said about Ellen White. He said, I was a child when she died. But he says, when she would pray, I would be afraid to open my eyes. Because it was like she was talking to Lord, face to face, voice to voice. You would sense God's presence right there. To pray and to live to the point that you can sense God's presence in your life. Anyway, let's move on a little. By the way, how do you distinguish God's voice? How do you know it's God's voice and it's not Satan's voice or your voice? How do you do that? Listen, God talks through different ways. God talks through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to show us who God is, okay? God talks through his word, the Bible, okay? God talks through nature. Nature reveals God, doesn't? Okay? It says in the Bible. Okay, God talks, listen carefully, through the Holy Spirit working in our mind, inspiring us, working with us. And God talks through providence. He would open doors, close doors, lead you, take care of you, if you are sensitive and if you are willing to let him work. Now, how do you distinguish his voice from all the other voices? Listen, I was in the army. My wife and I were still dating. I would talk to her every day. Every day. When she would call me or I would call her, her parents did not agree with us to be dating. They didn't like me much. They wanted her to marry a physician, a doctor. And I was no doctor. I was in building, in construction university, building university. And they told me, you become a doctor, you can marry her. If not, forget it. I said, I have no intention to become a doctor. And they told her, you cannot talk to him. We will not let you talk to him. She would get in trouble. They would actually punish her if she talked to me. So I would call and listen. I would say nothing. And finally, hello, aha, it's her. How did I know? I knew her voice. If her father, hello, I would just hang up. I knew her voice. I knew her voice. When you talk to God enough, you get to the point to distinguish his voice from any other voices. But people who don't know his voice is because they didn't pray enough. You can never learn swimming, reading books. You got to jump in the water. You follow me? You got to pray in order to know how to pray. You got to listen in order to know how to listen. It is an exercise. So you got to actually listen. And you'll get to know his voice. Secondly, when God talks, God is consistent. God doesn't change. God doesn't go against his own word. We change. He doesn't. For instance, my wife always is concerned that I don't eat in time. I leave and she says, come for lunch, come for supper. And then I visit and I talk and I never get home in time and I just don't eat and I lose weight. And she says, honey, you got to take care of your health. And she calls me, where are you? Meal is ready. Come to eat. Come for lunch. I got used when she calls, come for lunch. And sometime I drive through the mountains as I get home. I live in Frankfort, Kentucky, outside the city limits, on top of the mountain, and on a 50 acres, beautiful property. And as I drive home, I don't have signal for about 10 minutes. So she calls and, honey, come, lunch. I know it's her. How do I know? It's not just the voice, but it's the content of the message. You follow me? I know it's her. Because she's the single one that says, honey, come for lunch. Honey, come for supper. When God talks to you, you know that it is God. If I say right now, your people will be my people, your God will be my God, don't persuade me to leave because I am not going to leave you. Who said that? Ruth, how do you know? You know the message. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Have faith in the Father. Have faith in me. I go to prepare a place. Who says that? How do you know that? You know the message. If you know God's word, you know when God talks to you. Because God is consistent. God is consistent. But if we never study, how can we know, you know? So basically, you spend time, you study the word, you know when God talks to you. Plus experience. The more you know God, the more you get used. You follow me? Anyway, our time is up. Our time is up. We stop right here, except that I promise you that I will give you time for a couple of questions. So if you have questions related to prayer, feel free to ask. I will do my best. I don't promise that I will know the answer or I will enjoy answering any question. Just try it. Just sometimes people ask some questions that I have no joy to answer them. But okay, any questions? And everybody said, me. Okay, yes. Yes. I have the quotation. I will provide for you. Let me repeat the question for you all. So he said, I remember there is a statement somewhere that says if more people pray for a specific request, God can answer better that prayer. It's not that it would twist God's arm, kind of pestering him to death, as I used to do to my mom. I would grab her dress, mommy, I want chocolate, mommy, I want chocolate. I will not let her go before I would get a chocolate. It's not that we have to pester God to death. Prayer without ceasing is not repeat the same thing. In fact, Jesus said, do not repeat the same words as the pagans do. When the lady goes to the judge and the judge doesn't answer and she has to go many times until finally she gets justice, that's not a lesson that we should do the same to God. In Greek, in the grammar, it's a lesson by contrast. If that judge that is not representing God, because that judge had no shame, would you agree with me? had no fear, no shame for people, no fear of God. He was unjust. My God is just. He had no mercy. My God is merciful. That judge did not represent, does not represent God. When she went to judge, the lesson is by contrast. If that evil judge finally answered, how will he not, God, who is good, do justice? And then the Bible says in the next verse, I tell you, he will answer, and what is the word? Quickly. You don't need to pressure him to death. He will answer quickly. It's wrong to assume that he would answer in the time you want, the way you want. But Ellen White says there is no honest prayer that would go without answer. And then the next paragraph, she says, do not assume that he will answer your way, your time. He will answer the best way, that if you knew the end, you would choose the same. Now, going to what he said, however, when many people pray in one accord, it's a matter of universal justice. For instance, let's suppose that my son would choose to go against God. He would say, leave me alone, I don't need you, I don't want you. God gave us the freedom of choice. God doesn't force us. You follow me? So if I choose to reject God, God cannot work with me. Because if God forced me, God would not be a just God. He would not be love. Satan would be right. Because God cannot force me, my brother is going to join me and pray for my son. That gives God opportunity to work where he cannot work any longer. So God has to say, you see, I cannot work for that guy. However, because of my servant and my servant and my servant is asking, I have to work because I have to answer their prayer. So it gives God opportunity to work where God cannot work anymore. Do you follow me? Therefore, the more people pray, the more God can work. Plus, the more I pray for somebody, the more I care because I invest time. Prayer is not simple. It takes time and sacrifice. I invest time, and whenever you invest something in somebody, you start caring for that somebody. You follow me? Anyway, I hope I answered your prayer. I make available all my materials. The quotation is there in under the subtitle called Intercessory Prayer. You'll find it there. One more question and we are done for today. Right there.
What about the issue of fasting and prayer? I've had people present to me, and I've heard people say it's almost like if you fast, you'll persuade God by your fasting. I kind of agree with you. You don't push God. But this fasting, you have to fast and prayer.
Yes, thank you. It's a good question. God is a good God. His mercy and his grace are greater than we will ever understand. Angels who watch him day and night, they cannot help but just praise him. Worthy, worthy, wow! They see him again and again, and they know him, and they live with him, and they are still amazed second by second. We are going to learn about God's grace eternally, and we will never fully understand his love. His love is infinite. I mean, to put his grace on you and me, sinners, that's beyond our understanding. God is good. We don't need to persuade him to care for us because he cares, because he gave Jesus Christ. If he gave Jesus, he's not going to nickel and dime for something small. You follow me? Like, my brother, I don't have a brother. My brother would lose his job and lose his house and lose everything. Bad economy, okay? And I just won the lottery. I don't go gambling, but anyway, never in my life I did. Never, ever. However, I just won $500 million. Isn't that something? That's a little too much. But anyway, $500 million. So now, I go to my brother and I say, hey, how can I help you? And he says, well, I lost my job, I'm losing my house, my kids are losing school. How much is your house? It's 250,000. Okay, keep here, 250. How much is tuition for kids? Well, both of them would be 60,000. Keep another 60,000. How much do you need to get a car? Well, I need a car to go job hunting and I don't know what car to get. Listen, I'm going to get a car for you. And I go and I know my brother loves BMW and I get top of the line, all the whistles and bells, the best BMW, GPS, you name it. And then at the end, after I spend like 500,000 on my brother, that's nothing compared to 500 million, would you agree? I didn't even spend 1 million. At the end, the BMW is ready and they say, listen, you need to pay another $5. We need to wash the car. What am I going to do? Oh, you stinkers, I just gave you $60,000 for the BMW. I am not going to give you $5. Do you think after I spend $500,000, I'm going to nickel and dime for $5? Yeah, take it, wax it, take $10. I want to see his face. I want to see the car shining. God gave Jesus. He's more than a double BMW. How will he not also in Jesus give us all things? The problem is that we don't see the big picture and we don't know him enough to trust him. We trust ourselves. We don't even trust ourselves. But anyway, so going back. Fasting is not to persuade God. Fasting is to clear our mind in order to spend time and know him. Do you follow me? Fasting is to be able to know him, to sense him, to hear him, not to convince him. It's not hunger strike, so he would give up. You follow me? Okay, saying that, let's have a closing prayer and I see you tomorrow. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your wonderful love and we thank you that you are looking for relationship. You want us to know you because to know you is eternal life. Knowing you has more power than any effort we will ever try. Knowing you is what would change us. Father, help us learn how to pray and help us pray. We pray in Jesus' merits and we thank you so much for answering. Amen. God bless you.